Well, I knew it wouldn't be long before we had Ed Solly back with us. He is with X13 Ministries. He's one of the directors there, and we'll talk more specifically about that in just a couple of minutes. Ed, of course, is from Iran. He's got a heart for the people of Iran, and most importantly, to get the gospel to the people of Iran, which is what Acts 13 is all about. Ed joins us here on NBL, and obviously the story of what's happening in Iran has been in the news, not excluding, of course, the 40-plus thousand, I've heard as many as 47,000 people who were murdered by the Islamic fundamentalist regime that still has a chokehold on that country, and obviously that's of great concern. But this has been in the news for a couple of months. Ed, welcome back. I want to give you a chance to just kind of bring us up to speed. How have you been? I got to believe that you guys are working overtime, trying to make sure that there's communication with the people of Iran and that you're getting the gospel to them. Welcome back. Bring us up to speed on what you've heard lately, what's happening right now.
Well, Neil, thank you very much for the invitation again to be with you and with our listeners on WDCX and all our other areas where they get us on their radio wavelengths. As I said, and as you very well also mentioned, there are great concerns at this time, even though it's over 2 months now since that uprising and the issue that prompted this whole thing happening in the Middle East. We have been very, very busy trying to establish communication with people inside Iran that we could, try to find out what's going on. Of course, the news is giving us some of the information, such as the negotiations and the discussions with the Western governments and the Iranian government for a possible ceasefire and other issues that they're discussing. But it's been still a very, very anxiety-filled, in some cases even terrifying news that we're getting from inside Iran that I'm sure we're going to discuss about it at some point in the program. Mm-hmm. We've been praying and praying, and we've been interceding with the Lord for a breakthrough, a final resolution that would be what people have been hoping and praying for almost five decades now, and that is the ending of this tyrannical regime and the beginning of a new chapter in the history of Iran by having a democratic government, a human rights-based regime that would respect people's freedoms and human rights and would also particularly respect the minority communities such as Christians. And that's really what has been happening in the last few weeks, particularly. A lot more intense prayers are going on, and people are basically uniting as never before to see an end to this whole thing.
Yeah. And while, I mean, we'll talk about this during the course of this conversation at some point, but there is an underground church in Iran, and I've been told it's thriving, so let's keep that in mind. However, yes, you can lose your life for being a Christian in Iran or being seen with a Bible or whatever, and obviously it's very touch and go as to what is happening there, and people are fearing for their lives. There were 40-plus thousand people annihilated by the regime you mentioned, the Khomeini regime, and then, of course, the war began with Iran. And, you know, we've heard from a listener recently, I'll probably refer to this caller several times, but he was saying, listen, you need to understand that the vast majority of the people in Iran are grateful for what the United States is doing right now. And I wonder if you could help us understand that. You're Iranian born, you have contact with people there, you've got a ministry to the people of Iran. Is it true that the vast majority of people are grateful for what's happening, provided that, you know, that some of the objectives can be met, and maybe the ultimate one is getting that regime out of control of the country? But, you know, Ed, as an Iranian-born person who's watched what's happened there for 47, nearly 50 years, right, you obviously have a unique perspective on this. So from your perspective, help us understand whether or not that's true.
Well, I would agree with your caller almost entirely. You see, what happened in Iran before this 1979 revolution was very much a peace-loving, democratic, and Western-oriented nation. We loved the Americans, we loved the Europeans, we loved every country in the world almost, with open arms and welcoming them and learning from them and trying to grow and be just like any other industrialized and modern and advanced nation. And all of a sudden, everything was brought to a terrible, terrible screeching stop that the direction of the country changed, whether it was just the religion itself or a political plus religious orientation. But what happened is that people never forgot what they used to have. And of course, with the advent of the internet, people started to wish they could be just like any other country. They watched all the great things that are happening in Europe and US and Canada and everywhere else. And they say, well, why are we losing these opportunities? So people have mostly been very unhappy with the state of affairs in Iran, with all these restrictions and imposed rules and regulations, particularly on two groups of people. One is women, and the other one are religious minorities, including Christians. Mm-hmm. And persecutions have been ongoing and ongoing and ongoing, as evidenced with the killing of Mahsa Amini, where there was an uprising. People finally got fed up because a little bit of her hair was shown behind that hijab, and the whole country exploded. So people of Iran, as your caller said, are looking and are waiting and are praying that Western powers, particularly United States, that have the ability and the power to intervene and to help the people of Iran get rid of this government. I mean, that's what you read, that's what you hear. And I think there's an element of truth. Maybe out of 90 million Iranians that are currently living inside Iran, maybe 80 million plus are basically fed up with these types of religious theocracy and heavy-handed governing. They want something else. And, of course, they will have their opportunity if the country becomes democratic by referendum, by voting. They'll choose a leader that would lead them in that direction.
Yeah. So I don't even know how to word this question, but I'd love your opinion on it. Whether you know for sure the answer or not, just give us your leaning. But, you know, it seems to me that Donald Trump, I mean, he wrote a book, for crying out loud, called The Art of the Deal. So he's a deal maker. He talks about deals all the time. He's always saying that a deal is near, you know, with the people of the leadership in Iran and regarding the Strait of Hormuz and all of that. He's looking for a deal. But my question is, if that regime isn't removed from power, do you have any sense that they would ever stop trying to get nuclear weapons, obliterate Israel, obliterate the U.S. if they could? In other words, would the goals ever change? Would they all of a sudden wake up one day and say, yeah, we've been a brutal dictatorship, a fundamentalist, you know, terrorist regime. We've supported terrorism all over the world, the number one exporter of terrorism on the planet. But you know what? We're going to make a deal, and we're going to be nice guys from now on. It seems to me that regime change has to happen, however God brings it about. But I just don't trust any remnant of that regime remaining in power that they would ever tell the truth about, you know, stopping their effort to get nuclear arms or, you know, getting along with the West and beginning to act like, you know, a normal country, et cetera. So your thoughts on that? It seems to me regime change is necessary, that there's no other way to really hope for long-term change unless that happens.
Well, Neil, if you ask an average Iranian who is living inside Iran right now, what do you want, as we just discussed it, they would probably say a regime change. Now, the regime change is obviously the ideal, and I know and I'm guessing why this is having such a hard time coming to fruition. And don't forget, there are other powers than the United States that are very pleased to keep this regime going, and one of them probably would be China, and the other one would be Russia.
Right.
These are local powers in Asia, and they have tremendous interest in having a proxy, namely Iran, to you know, do their bidding, particularly Chinese with their developments and their astronomical growth that they've had over the last few decades. They need Iranian oil. I mean, majority of their oil is coming from Iran. They need Iran to be a very geopolitical location for them to have platform of being able to reach into the other nations in both the Middle East as well as in Europe. So there are other powers behind the scene that probably will not be very happy with the regime change, because then they have to deal with a government that they would assume that the United States has tremendous influence on. The other thing is that there's a verse in the Bible that says, how could a leper change its spots? I mean, once you're a leper, you've got your spots, you can't change those spots.
Mm-hmm.
This regime is, you know, fundamentally and at the very root of it, whether it's by the religious philosophy or political philosophy, an anti-Western, anti-American entity, and will never, ever change its spots. I believe even with the best deal to limit and restrict nuclear proliferation, you're probably not going to see that last for too long. They're probably going to find a way that is very hidden and clandestine efforts to develop some kind of a nuclear program. And at the same time, for them, you know, to stay in power is also to maintain a balance about, for instance, I'm talking about spiritually here, the growth of the church. If there was a more liberal and democratic government in Iran, probably we'll have a lot more people that are now, you know, at the cost of their own lives, they're keeping the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, you know, the art of the deal is only good, in my opinion, if the other side has some sanity. You don't negotiate with an insane person, because that insane person can at any moment become insane again, even though for a few minutes they were very logical. People of Iran are not trusting their government, because they say this government is going to be full of tricks in the bag, and it's going to play the U.S., and they're masters at playing more democratic governments who follow the law, and they're using logic. They have no sense of logic. They have a sense of trickery and how to get away with it. So I think if I was President Trump, if I was to advise him, I would say, President Trump, don't believe whatever they tell you. Don't believe what they claim that they want. As President Reagan would say, strength through verification. If you don't verify what they're claiming, it's no use. Mm-hmm. These guys are going to find a way to get away with it.
Yeah. Very troublesome stuff. We're talking with Ed Solly of Acts 13 Ministries, born in Iran, part of a ministry that's reaching millions daily in Iran with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll talk about how that's happening and how you can be a part of helping to support their work. But let me just say, before we take our break here, you really should go to Acts13.com, and that's the number 13, 1-3. So it's like the book of Acts, A-C-T-S, 13.com, Acts13.com. Familiarize yourself with their work. Find out what God is doing, but the time is ripe. There are people hungry right now for the gospel in Iran, and there is an underground church that is thriving and exploding. People coming to faith in Christ. There's going to be an effort to get Bibles in there. We'll tell you about that. Ed Solly of Acts 13 Ministries, our guest. He's one of the directors there and has been involved in the work that Acts 13 is doing in Iran for many years. Ed is a wonderful friend. As a matter of fact, the last time that we spoke, I believe, was at an incredible Persian restaurant in the Toronto area. I'd never eaten Persian food. And to be honest, Ed, I'm not 100% sure what exactly I was eating, but it was delicious. I mean, it was so good. And I'm just grateful for your hospitality, boy.
We were not poisoning you. We gave you the very best food that anyone can taste. I guess I'm biased about it, but we had a great time together.
Yeah, it was a great time of fellowship, getting to hear one another's story and our hearts. And yeah, so, I mean, it was just so good. But now for those that are listening that have heard me now talk about Acts 13 Ministries, before we continue talking about what's going on inside Iran, let's talk about the ministry that has existed to reach the people of Iran and how you guys have been able to do that. So when somebody says, what is Acts 13, how do you describe that?
Sure. First of all, the name Acts 13 was an inspiration that my father, Pastor Fred Saleh, felt that the Lord was calling him to a ministry similar to what you would read in Book of Acts chapter 13. That's the first time and probably the only place in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit spoke in the first person and said, separate Paul and Barnabas for me. And they left their local church in Antioch, and they were supposed to go and take the gospel, particularly to Europe. And the Lord prompted us to have an attitude of not isolating ourselves to a city like Toronto or Canada, where so much Christian activity is going on, but to take this to the nations around the world. So it's been a missionary and a teaching and an outreach ministry in English as well as a few other languages. But then the Lord slowly but surely over years allowed us to move into a little particular area called Iran and Iranians with the immigration that was happening, and so many Iranians were coming to Canada and U.S. and elsewhere. We felt that the Lord wants us to minister to these people, to take the gospel to these people, as well as discipling them. So Acts 13 is a publishing, a media, and an outreach ministry that focuses on a number of languages, English and some others, but particularly over the last decade on the Farsi language, which is the language of Iran, and with the Iranian population both inside and outside of Iran.
And technologically, how is this happening? Like, right now there's no internet there, so is it all via satellite? How are you doing that?
Yeah. Well, God blessed us with the opportunity to launch three satellite channels that are pretty much focused in the Middle East. And we have these three channels broadcast 24/7. One is strictly a lot of teachings, just like WDCX does a lot of teaching programs. And then one of our channels is more academic, and we cover topics that are more theological, apologetics, documentary, science, etc., etc., for more of the younger generation that are very logical thinking and well-educated, and they're looking for that type of programming. And the last but not least is our worship channel, where we broadcast worship songs and worship music in the Farsi language 24/7. As you said, we probably have anywhere from 3 to 5 million daily viewers, and satellite currently is the only means of communication, even though it's one way. We broadcast and people watch, but is the only means of communication with the nation of Iran, because internets are shut down and there's no two-way communication anymore. And we're grateful to the Lord that we still have the satellite to be able to take this message to Iran, over and above publications that we sometimes find the opportunity to smuggle, if I can call it that, smuggle Bibles into Iran, because there is such a hunger and thirst for the scriptures. I mean, some of us in North America, we have dozens of Bibles in our homes in different versions, different colors, leather, you know, hardback, softback. But there, to have a Bible is probably one of the greatest honors for someone, to have even pieces of the scripture. So We are involved in these types of projects and initiatives to help people.
Yeah. It's astounding, as you've described it, over the, you know, the months that we've been in communication here, and particularly in these last couple of months, to hear that the Church of Jesus Christ is thriving in Iran and largely underground, because you can lose your life for being a Christian, an outspoken Christian for sure, or for having a copy of the Bible. Now, you were telling me earlier, if I'm correct, that there's an effort to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 more Bibles into Iran. How can we be a part of helping to support that initiative, whether it's financially or, but I would say also obviously prayerfully, how can we directly be involved when we have no connection to what's going on, you know, in Iran?
Thank you for reminding me this. Yes. I've been in touch with a number of ministries, particularly in the U.S., that have the same burden and heart for Iran and that region. And some of my good friends in Oregon, Western United States, contacted me recently. Actually, I was in the island of Malta about a month and a half ago, and the discussion was on this very subject. How do we get inside Iran and help people there? And I just got a message this morning that we have now access to about 10,000 copies of the Bible that are in proximity to Iran. I'm not going to name the exact location, but in proximity to Iran, very close. And there is a need to get this 10,000 Bibles into Iran. Now, we know the traditional method has always been to load up on the trucks, or there is some space built under the trucks, underneath the trucks, that they put these Bibles, and by, I guess, various methods, whether it's, you want to call it deception or bribing the border guards, they can take these Bibles inside Iran. And of course, then there's a very vast network of distributors that would distribute these Bibles according to instructions given. So right now we have about 10,000 of these Bibles sitting in proximity to Iran. And the cost of each Bible to be able to take all the way from point A to point B from our distribution to an actual recipient is about $5. $5 would take care of that transportation. And we're asking all our friends, partners, brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, including the listeners on WDCX, please pray for this door to stay open. And in a particular way, on this particular project, be way open than ever before, and to also help us financially, whatever gifts that the Lord puts on their heart, to be able to give to Acts 13 so we can take care of these Bibles and move them inside Iran. No amount, small or large, is something that we will discriminate by saying, oh, only the great gifts, a few dollars to a few thousand dollars, doesn't matter, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And since we are a 501c registered in the U.S. and with CRA registered in Canada, you're welcome to go to our site, acts13.com, and there you will find instructions as to how you can donate towards, specifically with an earmarked comment, that this gift is for Bibles for Iran, and we will take care of that.
Yeah, and while, you know, there may be some people that would be hard-pressed to provide $5, just about everyone can, we know that, and there are others that $50,000, which is the total of getting 10,000 Bibles in there, they could do that as well. Listen, I don't know what the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart. I'm just encouraging you to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and give as God would lead you. And most importantly, pray that these would successfully arrive, that they would get into the hands of people who need the truth of God's word so that they can come to faith in Christ, Amen. Grow in Christ, and that God would see it through beginning to end. I mean, it would be nice just to provide dollars for Bibles, but we want to send them in the name of Jesus, under his authority Amen. And with his protection. And so we want prayer to be a part of it. And Lord, I'm just going to pray right now for those whose hearts you're speaking to. Some can give large amounts. Some could give a Bible. But Lord, either way, $5 is all it costs to get a Bible from point A to point B. And this is going to be a very difficult maneuver as well with all that's going on in Iran, and very dangerous. And so, God, we pray for protection and wisdom and favor. And Lord, for your Holy Spirit to be a part of this entire thing, that when that Bible reaches the hand of a hungry Iranian, that they would see and know that you are God, and that the truth is found in your word, and that Jesus Christ is the way to a relationship with you.
Amen.
So God, may your anointing rest on that whole thing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well,
amen and amen.
Again, it's like the book of Acts, A-C-T-S, and then the number 13, Acts13.com, Acts13.com, and you can give, I think Ed said there that it's 501c3 in the U.S., so you can get a tax-deductible gift by giving on the U.S. side and with CRA Canada, so it's tax-deductible on both sides of the border. All right.
Yes.
let me also ask you this before we move on. Regarding the ministry of Acts 13, you mentioned getting Bible teaching programs in there, and this isn't just like beginner-level Bible teaching, and I don't mean to demean anybody. By God's grace, thank the Lord that new believers are learning the basics of the gospel and who God is and so forth. That's all necessary. But you're also doing some teaching for people that are studying to be pastors and stuff, like seminary-level stuff.
Yeah.
And if you could describe that, it would be helpful, because how is it that you're able to get, you know, in the language of Farsi, teaching that's coming, like even college-level teaching, Bible college teaching, into Iran?
Yes. Thank you very much for reminding me that, Neil. We have made an agreement with Dr. Braxton Hunter, president of Trinity College of the Bible and Theological Seminary out of Evansville, Indiana, several years ago. And he had a great heart for ministry to unreachable nations, including Iran. We're very good friends, and you know, once in a while he comes over and we see each other. So what we agreed is that we're going to take their online platform, which is designed to educate English-speaking student bodies with bachelor's, master's, or PhD-level theological education, and translate all of that into Farsi. So we do have a platform which is kind of parallel to the Trinity's English platform, that people inside Iran or anywhere that Farsi speakers are can enroll and log into that platform and be able to study courses and material that would ultimately lead to their graduation and earning a bachelor's, master's, or PhD degree. We currently have about 380 students enrolled in our Farsi language Trinity program, of which over 300 of them are currently inside Iran. They're being educated inside Iran. Now, of course, up until the time that the internet was functional, they were getting all their course material and studies done through the internet. Now that the internet, for now at least, is not functioning, we've transferred our course material on satellite. So the same profs that were teaching on internet now are teaching on our satellite. At least the students can, you know, get their lessons and study their lessons by watching the satellite and continue to pursue their degree program. So that is happening as we speak. Now, you said something that also triggered an invitation from me to all the pastors and teachers in Western New York, Northwest Pennsylvania, Southern Ontario, anywhere that the sound of WDCX is heard. I would like to invite those pastors and teachers that God has given them truly a gifting for teaching to contact us, because we do seek new content all the time. There are churches in Western New York, in Southern Ontario, that have great pastors, great teachers, and they have also perhaps great hearts for ministry among unreachable nations such as Iran. If they're interested in giving us their content, such as their Sunday sermons or some specialized teachings that they've done on video that can be converted into Farsi language. We're very interested in that. If they've written a book that the book can be translated into Farsi, we're interested in that. If they want to do a live broadcast, like some of our hosts that are currently doing, and be able to engage with the Iranian people inside Iran once the internets are functional, we're interested in that. So I'm just putting out the call for pastors, teachers, and people that have specialty in certain Christian disciplines to be able to work with us and help us.
Yeah, I also, you know, you've described more in more detail how all of that works, but somebody might say, wait a second, help me understand this again, because I've got a teaching ministry, or, you know, I'm an adjunct professor at a Bible college or something, and I would be willing to be a part of this, but I don't speak Farsi. How is it that you're able to take, you know, lessons that are taught at universities here or on church campuses or wherever and get them to the people of Iran in a language they can understand?
Right. So we normally use two methods. One is to take the video and completely dub that video into Farsi, so it's a voiceover. That is the ideal way, even though you won't hear the lecturer's voice anymore because it's someone else speaking now in Farsi. But the other way that we also do is that in some cases we prefer to have a transcripted and subtitled style translation. So while you can hear the original voice of the lecturer, but you can also read in Farsi on the screen with a subtitle. And that's also very useful. It depends on the type of the content and a number of other considerations.
It's unbelievable. You know, sometimes I'm so frustrated by technology and even, you know, worried about where technology's headed. I've got to be honest. But what a powerful use of technology to be able to get the truth of the gospel to people in a language that they understand, in this case, Farsi in Iran. Incredible. So, again,
absolutely.
Yeah, and as Ed Solly mentioned, what you need to do is connect with Acts 13. Go to acts13.com, A-C-T-S, and then the number 13, acts13.com, and Ed will be happy to connect you and find out whether or not the content that you have to offer, sermon series, you know, Bible teaching that you've done would be available and how that could be utilized. Just connect with them at acts13.com. We got to take a break. We'll be back with Ed Solly of Acts 13 Ministries. Just a few more minutes to talk about what God is doing in Iran, even as the war continues. Everyone's worried about the Strait of Hormuz and world economies because of oil, etc. Jesus Christ is doing a work in Iran, and it's amazing. Ed Solly of Acts 13 Ministries, we've had him on several times. He's got a fascinating story, and first time we spoke, I believe that none of what was going on in Iran was going on. Then more recently, of course, we've talked about the uprising that resulted in some 40-plus thousand, maybe even close to 50,000 Iranians losing their lives, slaughtered by the terrorist regime that runs that country and has run it for now 47 years, going on 48. It's terrible what's happened to the people of Iran, and Ed has made it clear that he doesn't know for sure, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 to 85% of the people living there are absolutely opposed to that government and are looking for freedom, ultimately. And many of them are looking for hope that can only be found in Jesus. And many have given their lives to Christ through the ministry of Acts 13 Ministries. So, Ed, I know that you have contact with people that are close to what's happening in Iran, and you're monitoring this thing on a regular basis. I wondered if you might help us understand how best we can be praying for the ministry. Obviously, we want to encourage people to support the ministry. But, you know, there's a lot in play right now that's in a state of flux. For instance, if the Iranian government keeps playing games, pretending to, quote, make a deal with the Trump administration and all of that, then, you know, there's threats to take out the infrastructure, you know, power grids and bridges and so forth, cutting people off from friends and loved ones and potential resources they need just to survive. Can you help us understand how we ought to be praying? Because I think some people are looking and hoping for total victory, but how best and how specifically can we pray that lives would be changed for the glory of God, but that the people would be spared and the future of Iran would be bright. I'm not sure exactly how best to say we should pray.
Right. Well, I was just meditating in the last few days on a very normal, natural human emotion, and that is anger. I think anger is something that cannot be avoided. We human beings have a mechanism that if something that is troublesome creates a sense of anger in us. And the Bible is full of people that were angry at different times, whether believer or not believer, they were angry. And I discovered that anger is a three-dimensional emotion. There's an anger outward that we show in terms of being aggressive and offensive and physical even. And there's an anger inward, which if doesn't get dealt with, it creates anxiety and hopelessness and eventually depression. But the people in the world today are only aware of these two anger dimensions, outward and inward. But we as Christians, the Word of God shows that there is a third dimension to anger, and that is anger upward. So we can channel our anger after we've experienced, and no one can avoid that momentary outward anger. You know, something happens, all of a sudden we just get angry, we burst out. And then sometimes we may internalize that anger, and that creates hopelessness and depression and a number of negative feelings. But I think the writers of the Bible, they had learned, particularly David, let's say, he knew how to channel his anger towards his enemies upward, to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, you know how angry I am, how nasty these guys are, but you deal with the situation. You now take control, because I can't do more than what I've done. I think this is what we need to do, to start channeling our collective anger, whether you're an American or Iranian, doesn't matter. We all get angry when we see what is going on in the world today. Innocent people are getting killed. And as a footnote, I sent you a picture of an article that has just come out with this dragging on of negotiations. The Iranian government is feeling bolder and bolder to execute young men and women at a rate that is alarming. Every day, they're just hanging people. Beautiful, beautiful young men and women, just like what your own sons and daughters would be. Just imagine. I'm reminded of that movie by Mel Gibson called Patriot, if I'm not mistaken, where the British were hanging the American boys. And what a feeling that man was going through to try to rescue his son. I hope you don't have to, but one day you see the videos of some of these parents that are just agonizing, that are just going crazy with the news of the hanging of their daughter and their son for no good reason. They didn't do any murder. They didn't kill anyone. They were just out there protesting, asking for their very basic human rights. We want food. We want to be able to live normal lives. We want to be able to educate ourselves. And that's where we need to start as a Church of Jesus Christ, to point our anger upward to the Lord himself and say, Lord, we just don't know what else we can do. We need to pray. We need to pray for the leaders. We need to pray for the circumstances. We need to pray for peace to take the hearts of people. And despite all these atrocities and horrible things that have happened, you take control, you lead. And I think prayer and intercession are the only weapons that are really meaningful in the long term in the hands of the Christians. The worldly people don't have that. We do. We hold the key to what God can do. Other people in the world only have key to what their leaders will do. But we have another key that is even greater than that, and that is the Lord Jesus himself, to bring an end to this.
Wow. Such a powerful and godly word. And I just pray that we will be prayerful, as you've described, about these very things, and that God would have his way, because, you know, I mean, mankind can try to conjure up all kinds of ideas about how things are going to happen and how best they could work out. But, you know, the Lord is the one who's ultimately in control, and he can even channel the heart of a king like rivers of water, it says in the word. And so That's where our hope and our trust needs to be. And I want to invite all of you listening to get to Acts13.com. Check it out for yourself. Ed, I'll give you a final word here, anything else you want to say in just a moment. But let me say, this is a unique and rare opportunity to have a powerful influence on a nation that has been literally had the gospel choked out for so many years. The word of Jesus Christ is not welcome in Iran under that tyrannical regime, and they've put people to death for preaching Christianity. They've put people to death for a variety of reasons, but obviously for standing for your faith, testifying about Jesus, preaching the truth of his word. And we pray for an end to all of that, and that the word of God would continue to get in there via the satellite ministry of Acts 13, the Bibles that are on their way currently that ultimately will be smuggled into Iran. Be praying for the safety of those who are going to be a part of that process. But you can give towards those Bibles and towards the ministry by going to Acts13.com. A-C-T-S, then the number 13, Acts13.com. Ed, any final word you want to leave with us? So grateful that you took time today to be on NBL with us.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I just remembered something that I like to remind our listeners, and that is, first of all, as an Iranian who left my country and came to these parts of the world to be educated, I've always found my American friends to be extremely friendly, generous, loving, receptive to the concern of others. I think one of the reasons America is prospering is because of that attitude, that they've been a nation that always have looked for where they can help, where they can be a positive influence. And when a nation like America becomes a nation of giving and givers, whether it's financial giving or other types of giving, God has always blessed nations like that. Now, one last thing I'll say about Germany. When the Second World War ended and Germany had caused such atrocity, the Holocaust and the killing of 6 million Jews and more than 50 million people had suffered in the 5 or 6 years of the Second World War. Let's look at Germany today. It's not even 100 years, and Germany is one of the most powerful economic and cultural powers in Europe. Well, I think one of the reasons Germany is Germany, and we all appreciate everything that they're producing and doing, is because of what Germany did. Germany admitted to their guilt that they caused the killing of so many, including the Holocaust. And even up to today, Neil, they're paying reparations to the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. They ask for forgiveness, and they're paying, even as we speak, every year a reparation to Israel. Well, I think God honored, even though they made a horrible, horrible error in judgment under Hitler, but look what's where Germany is. They're the masters of European nations. And I believe every nation who acts righteously and acts with concern and acts with love towards other nations, God will respect them, and that's why America has prospered, because the church, particularly in America, has always been a very generous and a giving body of believers. And I truly appreciate it, and I want to thank all my American friends, and God bless you, and may God give you more prosperity and a sensitive heart to the need and the plight of other people.
Amen and amen. Ed Solly of Acts 13 Ministries. You can learn more by going to Acts13.com.